Is in his TARDIS through all of space and all of time. Where is he going? What is his objective? What goal draws him on through the endless spheres, the millions of ages? No one knows. Perhaps he himself has long forgotten, so distant in our years is the time when he first set out on his odyssey. Are his voyages haphazard? And merely satisfying the urge to travel everywhere and see everything? Or is he seeking something definite? Again, no one knows. Ceaselessly and restlessly, he moves on, along the infinite strands of energy that crisscross all space-time. There is the deep and always unsatisfied curiosity of the scientist in him. There is the love of all life, which fights against its surroundings. Strange as his many adventures and experiences have been, how strange will be that time and place, no matter how far away or how distant in time, that point in infinity eternity when, at long last, Doctor Who will reach his final goal and find that for which he is searching. The Sons of Grek, from Doctor Who Annual, 1967. The pulsating glow from the round column of glass which rose from the control panel of TARDIS etched the many deep lines in Doctor Who's fine face. He was bending over his controls, concentrating. His hands darted from switch to button to lever, pressing some, turning off others. When the high-pitched noise had died away, he stepped back with a sigh of satisfaction. Switching on the scanner screen, he rubbed his hands briskly together as he waited for his first glimpse of the world to which his latest journey had brought him. His astonishment at what he saw brought a startled exclamation from his lips.
"Oh, good gracious me! It's a pig's head!"
It certainly looked like a pig's head at first glance, cooked and garnished and set on a huge platter with an apple in its mouth. The head began to move away from the scanner, and now Doctor Who could see that the platter was being carried by a round metal thing. It was squat and black. It had wheels and several arms. There were portholes in it, and from within, lights flashed on and off. In its other arms, the thing, the monster, the creature, if it was a creature, was carrying several other dishes that would have fittingly graced the round table of King Arthur. Doctor Who realized that TARDIS had materialized inside a building. He appeared to be looking into a vast corridor, the walls of which were hung with hieroglyphics which glowed from tapestries of metal strip. A flickering torch was thrust into a holder on a nearby pillar. Doctor Who rubbed his chin and chuckled wryly.
"Well, if it wasn't for that mechanical manservant, I would be inclined to believe that I had arrived in some medieval castle on Earth."
He checked the instruments which sampled atmospheric and other conditions outside TARDIS. With a nod of satisfaction, he pulled the lever which opened the doors. As he stepped into the corridor, the smell of cooking made him wrinkle his nose appreciatively.
"I wonder if there's anyone here who would invite me to dinner. Those dishes smell as good as they look."
He set off along the corridor in the direction taken by the metal manservant. He moved quietly, his eyes wary and watchful. It was quite possible, he knew, that the glowing hieroglyphics on the walls were some form of warning system, possibly watching his every move. An opening between two pillars to his right made him hesitate. It led onto a small gallery, for all the world like a minstrel's gallery in a medieval castle. This gallery looked down into a vast banqueting hall set with tables, and the clamour of voices and laughter told Doctor Who that he had reached the recipients of the pig's head and other savoury dishes. He was about to step onto the gallery for a closer look
when a move